Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Do you love the Lord this morning? He is worthy of all praise. He is the Father of all fathers. As we recognize fathers. Hallelujah. On this day, glory to God. Well, praise God. We've entered in our study, we've entered into the area of the Feast of Tabernacles as we've been journeying through the feast. And we've spent considerable amount of time on day one of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Feast of Trumpets or the Day of Trumpets. It's a sounding of the trumpets. And I do believe not only have we entered into it with our study, but we truly, as a church, have entered into the day of the Lord, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the seventh month is also the first month. And everybody understands that the Israelites had two calendars, and the first month and the seventh month were the same month. And it was based upon when they came out of, or if you remember, when they came out of Egypt. Amen? And I really do believe that God is talking to us in this day, and that the trumpets are important. You know, that's interesting. I wanted to read this verse, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. And all of a sudden, it just kind of came to me. And I read this morning in Proverbs chapter 18. And I've been reading it in the New Heart English Bible. And verse 2, you don't need to turn there out. Just let me read it to you. In Proverbs 18, it says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but only revealing his own opinion." And I found that very interesting, living in the day and the hour that we are in. And that is, most folks won't listen to you. They're just waiting for the opportunity for you to stop talking so they can give you their opinion. It's very prevalent in the family. It's very prevalent in the home. It's very prevalent in the church. It's very prevalent in the workplace, in society, all around. And if you don't think I'm kidding you, all you have to do is, you know, I have not really paid attention to the news for years and years and years. I mean, many years. But all of a sudden, I'm kind of, you know, I get these little things flashing on my phone, and I find it interesting that, you know, I have an Apple phone, and most of my news clippets are from what I would consider the left. But my point in all that is this: one of the things that, and this week really proved it out, and it's really interesting because, you know, there's a billboard out on I-94 that says cremation starting at 9:95, right? But there's now a billboard over here that says fake news. This is the point of what I'm trying to get at. And that because of the proliferation of the internet, fake news has run rampant and wild, and people now report things as though it's the gospel. I really made a statement. And the statement that I really made is most folks are just waiting for their opportunity to give their opinion, and they won't listen to a true trumpet sound. You know, recently I read an article someone wrote about, it just caught my eye. It said, concerning biblical fasting, is it commandment or tradition? And they went on, I didn't read the whole article because I got bored with it, but the whole article was about they felt that it was primarily tradition and that God never commanded them to ever fast or abstain from food, right? And which is kind of interesting because Jesus even addressed fasting, and Joel even proclaimed as the prophet of God where he said, sanctify a fast, you know, and Isaiah talked about it. But here's my point, and he gave all kinds of good scriptures to prove his point. And what we've done in the church today is the same thing we've done in the world. We've allowed intellectual reasoning to take over. And so therefore my point in a fool has no delight in understanding or the truth. Right, we go back to this, right? Most folks can't handle the truth. They would prefer fake news to validate their point of view. Listen, you're not going to change church folks that are cemented in their ways. Not going to happen. You could give them the truth and they won't care. Well, all I know is God is this way. I remember the first time I read into that. I think Danielle was a baby and we went to this church in Port Huron with some friends, and the pastor came to the house and he said, I don't care what you believe, all I know is God loves me and that's all that matters. Yeah, I wish that was all that mattered, but, or should I say that encompasses a whole lot more than just the simple answer. But God has trumpets in this hour ordained to declare what he's saying. Amen. Anybody with a website can do anything. Right? And you can make it look like whatever you want. And here's who it gets. The fool. Right? The naive. The gullible. The blind, the wretched, the naked, and the poor, and the immature. Because remember when Israel was traveling? The countries that always wanted to attack, always attacked which ones? The ones that nature shows it, doesn't it? The one that gets away from the pack or falls behind a little bit. The young, the immature. But God has a voice in this hour. He's blowing a trumpet. That's why you have to hear the certain sound of what God is saying. Amen? God's not interested in my opinion, my intellect, my reasoning. God's only really interested in His voice, which declares His purpose. To bring about His purpose, which is His ultimate intention. That's all we ever wanted. Amen. He just wanted a creation that would express who He was, who He is, and who He'll ever be. One of the things we must understand is God moves from glory to glory, though He never changes. He's always changing. I think about this all the time. You know, our forefathers, if we want to, I hesitate, but I'm just talking from the human sense. You know, we fought against evolution, right, in the Darwinism, whatever, right? And I know that, you know, most Christians get it all wrong, and Darwin, whatever. But the reality is God's an evolutionist. He's always evolving. If you don't think so, you think how the human body started. a seed, and a germination of the seed. And the way it ended up sure wasn't like how it started. Am I right? You can talk all you want, but God evolved things in that dimension, didn't he? It's because he's the ever-changing one, always transforming, watch this, into his purpose. But people get so caught up in their own mindsets and their own way of thinking that sometimes they can't hear the trumpet. Amen? I just found that to be a pretty good verse today. If you don't find it important for yourself, I find it important for me that a fool has no delight in understanding, but only revealing his own opinion. I'll stand there and wait till you get done so I can tell you. Me personally, I'd rather walk away. You know, are you all right? All right, here we go. So today I want to kind of finish up, but I kind of want to share a little bit, and I'm hoping I'll get done and I can move on to the Day of Atonement. We have to understand the purpose of trumpets is a sound for preparation. Everybody say this with me. Trumpets are a sound for preparation of the Day of Atonement and the Great Harvest. The ingathering of what God's after, isn't it? How many know he's after a great harvest? I really do believe this with all my heart. As much as it looks difficult at times, I think more will be saved than lost. This is just my own personal opinion. I've always believed that. I always remember Nikita telling me when he first came to my mom and dad's church, and he said he started talking with people, and you know, and they somehow got talking about Revelation, where it talks in Revelation 7 and 14, chapter 14 also, about the 144,000. And he said, yeah, you know, that just, it couldn't be a literal number because it's just, there's way more than that, right? And he said, the longer I went to the church and the more I realized, I was beginning to wonder if we could ever make it to the number of 144,000. Yeah. God will have a first fruit company. Sure as I stand here, with or without me, I guarantee it. How can you guarantee it, preacher? Because his word stands forever. And watch this. It never returns to him void. Amen. So, the blowing of the trumpet is a day of preparation. It's the sounding of preparation. And the reason it was on the first day of the seventh month, because remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when we talked about they blew the trumpet at the beginning of every new moon, didn't they? But this trumpet was special. It wasn't ordinary. The church can move in and out of phases all the time, but God's after a phase that ends all phases. Watch, no more sun, no more night, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more what? Death. He's changing things, isn't he? And I really do believe, let's turn, I'm all over the place this morning. I have so many verses to share with you, but turn with me to Joel chapter 2 real quick. I just want to which, you know, this verse I want to read is an interesting verse, right? But it's, you know, verse 12 says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with what? All your heart. And with fasting. And with weeping and with mourning. And verse 17 says, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, do what? Weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your God? God is looking for a days man, a people who can fill the gap. If you turn with me real quick, turn with me to, 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, I've mentioned this before and I've talked about it. It's the story of when there was an unholy alliance between Joram and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom. Amen? You know, I think if you give me a second, I want to read it in the Amplified. Sorry. Are you all right this morning? I want to touch on something today that we must understand and hear the voice of what God's calling us to, all right? And you know the story, right? And about, I've mentioned it, and I just want to read it. And I mentioned it the other night, but I just want to read it, okay? And how Elisha told the king of Israel that he was going to do it just because of Jehoshaphat. And he called the minstrel, the musicians, right? And they played, right? And he said, for thus saith the Lord in verse 17, you will not see wind or rain, yet that valley will be filled with water, so you and your cattle and your others' animals may drink. This is but a simple thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also hand over the Moabites, or your enemies, to you. Did you hear that? You shall strike every fortified city and every choice principal city and cut down every good tree and stop all sources of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, against what? Powers and principalities. And it happened in the morning, when the sacrifice was offered, the morning sacrifice, that suddenly water came miraculous from the area of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now, we understand and we know through the scriptures here that they had no water. And we know that Elisha told them to dig trenches. And God said he was going to fill it. And he wasn't going to use wind or rain. Wind or rain. How many know that God's always wanted to use a man? Did you hear what I said? The water came miraculous from the area of Edom. Now, do you know what Edom is? Edom is Esau. Esau was Jacob's brother, right? Jacob went his way and Esau went his way. How many know both sons of Isaac? Right? Which were sons of Abraham. Okay? If you ever do a little historical study on most of the folks that aggravated the Israelites, you'll find out that somewhere along the line, they had their origin, most of them, not all of them, in Abraham. The Midianites. If you remember when Sarah died, Abraham got married again. He had six kids, and one of them's name was Midian. Go follow all of Ishmael's, families, and all of Esau's family names, and you'll find out the overwhelming majority of those folks. This is why Jesus could declare, those of your own household are your worst foes. Right? But the water came from a realm of Edom. Are you with me? And God is looking for a people who can fill those trenches without wind, natural, or rain, natural. Right? They don't wait to give their opinion. They're waiting for the flow of God to come out of their lives. Let a priest do what? Weep between the porch and the altar. What piece of furniture was there? It was the laver. And it needed to be filled with water in order for a cleansing to come forth. Are you all right? Turn with me to Psalms. Let's see, where do I want to go? I have a couple of Psalms. Turn with me to Psalms 84. Let's see, Psalms 84. Now, I like this whole chapter, and I wish I had time to read the whole thing, but I won't. But if we look at verse 1, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah, oh, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And if you go on and you read about what they said is, we'd rather be one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. They had come to an understanding when they sang the hymn. And we've already talked about this a little bit because we talked about a song to the chief musician, right? That God is looking for a people who will praise Him with their mouth, their whole life. This is why David said, right? You've trained my hands for war and my fingers to fight. Well, what are they fighting? The principalities, the powers, and wickedness. Where does the, right here between my ears, in high places. Every vain imagination must come down. Amen? And the reason for this is God is looking for a people to fill the gap, so that He can change the whole atmosphere of what's going on. And if we drop down, well, let me just read. I'm just going to read, all right? You're going to have to follow. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I ask myself, am I crying out to God? We sang some of them songs like that this morning, didn't we? Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, and even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Here's my verse. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it as a well The rain also filleth the pools. The Lord bugged me for 2 weeks at least, I told you the other night, to go look at this verse, and I just, you know, put it aside. And I know last Wednesday when I got to work and all of a sudden God started talking to me about it. It's a people who really cry out to God. It's a Nehemiah company who understand the condition of Jerusalem, the church. And they want to see the fulfillment of God's purpose in an expression in the earth. Are you with me? You know, I don't mean to be mean or anything, you know, but the boys and I, we went to up to Mackinac City, and we went to Mackinac Island the other day and everything. And yesterday when I was milling around doing things, and I literally was just talking to God, and I was like, wow, we did that. It came, it went. It was nice, it was fun, but it really did not satisfy an inner cry with inside of me that says, God, I want you and I need you, because there's nothing in your green earth that can satisfy me except you. You and your people. I mean, I wasn't just thinking this or saying this. There's a cry that's in the realm of the Spirit that says, God, this is good, but what you have is way better. It'll make us forget all about natural life. And I know young folks, you know, they want to get married, they want to have children, have a house, and, you know, and I'm all for that, and God has that purpose and everything. But I'm going to tell you something. God's after something in our lives. And unless you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, we'll just keep filling ourselves with opiates of religious life and good man's life along with Christian life. And is everything going good? We'll be happy, but I'm here to tell you that God has put a hunger in my heart that makes me cry. I can't sleep anymore. Awake in the middle of the night and all I do is pray. I hear that old Blondie song, one way or another. I'm going to get you, get you, get you. One way or another. I'm going to get you, get you, get you. Which is kind of interesting because your papa always used to say, God's going to get you one way or another. And I've come to this realization that you cannot manufacture in human strength this hunger, this desire, as much as we try. The only way it comes is the more you press into Him, the farther He backs up, that causes your heart to long more for Him. To keep the pursuit. So therefore we become a God chaser. He keeps running from us, so to speak, until He stops and we catch Him. Well, God doesn't work that way. Well, praise God, hallelujah. But who passing through the valley of Baca? Now, does anybody know what the word Baca means? It means weeping. Wait, I thought we were supposed to be, you know, Jesus came and everything's fantastic and great and true, it's true. Again, I say rejoice. I've been telling you this for the last couple of months. I remember saying to Steve, you know, right there, back there, didn't I say this to you? I said, isn't it interesting that we serve a God that knows how to laugh and weep at the same exact time? Nehemiah, I told you a few months ago, I can't get over it. Well, everybody else was okay. Nehemiah was, he saw something beyond. Because when he got to Jerusalem, he found out what? Geez, the governors were living it up, taking bribes. They were, you know, as long as the money was flowing for some folks. But it didn't bother them one bit that the walls were broken down and the gates were burned. Kind of like the church today. As long as the money is flowing. And the messages, you know, I don't know who anybody's getting convinced. I think the people that are always talking are the ones that are convinced. Are you with me? It's the Valley of Baca. All right? It's the Valley of Weeping. Turn with me to Psalms 126. Now, I have a question. Psalms 84 was a song to who? The chief musician. Upon Gittith. Now, we all remember what Gittith is? Gath? Which is the Philistines, right? Wallowing in the dust, rolling around. It's a picture of the flesh, right? Now here we go. Psalms 126, verse 1. A song of degrees. Now the word degrees also means elevation. And when I hear the word elevation, and if you go and look, I don't know if you know this or not, but there are 15 degrees of elevation, or 15 psalms in a row that says a song of degree. Do you hear me? Right? I know something's banging out there and it's got our attention, but listen, are you with me? The reason there's 15 songs of elevation or degree, it's talking about the ascended life. And the number 15 is the number of rest. Let us not come short of his rest. Are you all right? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. How many have a dream? I have a dream. Go read Martin Luther King's speech. I preached it many years ago in some local thing here in the city for the church. I took some of the clips of it, and then I preached it a little. I have a dream. I have a dream. Do you have a dream? Watch, Joel said, old men will dream dreams. Or in other words, they'll have the dream of dreams. Just like the Song of Songs. Are you with me? And I'm telling you, it's not a dream like make-believe. It's a dream like Joseph had. It's heaped in reality of God's Spirit. Now, I have a question. Who was in captivity here in this song? Zion. Now, if we relegate Zion to just over there, I can tell you they're in captivity. Right? Oh, no, they're not. They're a free country. They're in captivity. Surrounded on all sides. Not only naturally in that aspect, but listen. Just the weight of sin keeps them in bondage. Are there any people free there? I'm sure there are. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. I have a question for you. Who said what? It says that the heathen said about the Zion people, look what the Lord has done. It wasn't the church folks. I mean, if you turn on any internet, any whatever, it's the church folks blowing their own trumpets. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says, let no man praise himself. Let somebody else do it. Are you all right? The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now this psalm is a song of degrees, a song of elevation, a song of ascent, because it's prophetic in what God is declaring. It's an end time. It's a Feast of Tabernacle song. How many know? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. But how many know just because He rolled back the reproach of Egypt doesn't mean we've come to the fullness of what God has purposed for our lives. And so therefore, we must come to the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And Jesus, I believe, is the end. I don't believe it's a time only. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. Isn't that what He declared? Go to the book of Revelation chapter 1 when He began to blow those trumpets, right? He was the voice of the trumpet and He said, it's Me. It started with Me and it ended with Me. This is what really ticked those religious folks off when Jesus said to them to their talk about our father Abraham. And He said, hey, Abraham longed to see My day. Yeah, you went back 50 years. I was before Abraham. He's the Alpha, the Omega. It started with Him. It ended with Him. Watch this. I don't care, you know. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. It started with Adam and it ended with Christ. The water came out of Edom. Right? It came out of a man. The Word was made flesh. It's too simple. It's so easy. But God's requiring something of us. Because we're at the day of trumpet, a day of preparation. It's not just the new moon of any ordinary month. It's the new moon of the Feast of Tabernacle, of what God has really been after all along in His people. Jesus fulfilled it, right? But do you remember what we just read about Elisha? What he did was only at the morning sacrifice. How many know, in order to complete a day, you must have an evening sacrifice? What are you saying, preacher? I have a question for you. Anybody, I'm sure we have, especially with the internet these days, but whether you saw it live or on the internet, anybody see a baby born? Under a normal circumstance, what's the first thing that comes out? The head. What's the last thing that comes out? The thing that causes it to walk it out. The end of the body. I really believe this. Now, people will think I'm mean. But do you remember when Peter and John went to the Gate Beautiful? Right? There was a lame man there for how many years? About 40 years, right? And he watched people walk. He just didn't know how to do it. That's the church. Standing at the Gate Beautiful, and they don't know how to walk the fullness of this thing out. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we want to, here we go. Verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now, if I think of south, I always think of heat. Don't you? Is anybody with me? Don't you think of heat? And if you have a lot of heat, you end up getting what? A lot of drought or dry and barren lands. But he says, the psalmist, turn the captivity, right? To be like what? Streams in the south. In other words, water in the desert. Streams to every dry and barren place. No lack. And if I think of the south, when I think of spiritual terms also, in the positive aspect, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Turn it to be like that. Here we go. This is the point. Here's, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This trumpet voice will tell you it's going to take a cry, a groan, to bring about the purpose of God. It's not going to be done by a message, not by a study, not by opium, religion, not the way I think, my opinion. It's going to take a people who will stand in the gap and cry for God's purpose. Are you with me? A people that are broken and humble before the Lord because they've come to a place in their life that they're so hungry for God, they don't want anything else but His purpose. And I believe this with my whole heart. Not everybody will do this. But others will benefit because some will. How do you know that? It's the pattern. Jesus was the only one. Come on, even his own disciples ran for their own lives. But he was willing to do it for them. Is that your heart today? That you're willing to stand in the gap? Bring true repentance in the house. Not just his house, but God's house. So that we can really see or reap the joy. He that goeth forth and does what? Weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know what? I have a question. If I had a handful of seed right here, it could never germinate without any water. Well, it needs earth too. I already have the earth. Are you with me? We have the seed. We have the earth. All right, here we go. Shall doubtless again with rejoicing bringing his sheaves with him. Do you know what that means? It's an ingathering, isn't it? It's a harvest. How many want the harvest of God? No, I don't just mean the summer picking up fruit. I'm talking about the fullness of what God is after. Come on, Paul wrote this in Ephesians. He says, listen, we have the earnest. Most folks are happy to go into the land and raid it and come out and enjoy their life only to go back in and raid it again if they get the opportunity. When God never planned it that way. I told you this before, I always remember this. Most folks think about the whole generation that died in the wilderness. But what about all the generations that went into the land and never possessed it? Well, I'm in Christ. But did we possess it? Did we lay hold of eternal life? I can tell you right now, wake up call for every one of us. Go and find out if we're still putting our folks in the grave. We are. It only means the captivity still needs to be turned. We're not talking about whether we've come out of Egypt. That's no longer a question. We're not even concerned about whether we've come into the promised land. That's no longer an issue either. While most folks are still fighting those things, I'm after something in God. And what's going to take is going to take a priesthood who's willing to weep between the porch and the altar. This is why they killed Zechariah. Where are they going to kill you? You shouldn't be crying. You should be joyous because God's on your side. No, God's weeping because he paid a price, not in vain. Not just so you and I could have church, but he paid a price so we could come into the fullness of what he's after. I wanted to say, I don't know why, and forgive my French here, but it scares the hell out of me. Thank God it will. See, I don't look at hell like we used to look at it so much. It might be a place where we need to go. David said, even if I make my bed in hell, God, you're there. Yeah. Because the only thing that's in hell is fire. And fire is what? The refiner's fire is to purge. Every man's work shall be tried by, which by the way is the love of God. Because love just means passion, boiling, heat, fervency. Are you all right? Why are you telling me all this, preacher? I'm telling you, God's looking for people who stand in the gap. Because they've come to an understanding that there's so much more than what we've tasted. Amen? Are you all right? Turn with me to Psalms 137. I have time. I can read Psalms 137. Are you all right? Here we go. Verse 1. By the rivers of confusion, There we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Did you hear that? A people that weep because they understand. I know you guys are all too young. Uncle, I say it all the time. The only ones that really can relate to this is Uncle Terry and I. But the reality is church is way different today than it ever has been. It ever was, I should say. It does not function anywhere near. Not even close. Men and women that did not understand the level of teaching and knowledge that's out there today had more of a heart to love God than we do. It's true. By the way, I have a question for you. Where are they today? It's because God was always pointing in one direction. It's to bring the fullness of who He is. You're too serious for me on Father's Day. The Father's present is when His children please Him. I don't care what anybody says. The joy of the Father, the Lord. A daddy will never be happy until all is smooth in the kingdom. According to His rules. The one thing God always hates is usurping authority. He always does. He just does. Listen, as wicked as Ahab was, right? God still didn't allow folks to usurp His authority. He didn't. And who was always trying to usurp His authority? Jezebel. A church system always trying to upset the king. All right? Okay, here we go. Turn with me to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. Just in case you forgot what I'm talking about today, I'm talking about the blowing of a trumpet. It's not an ordinary trumpet. It's not a, beginning of the month trumpet for every month. This is a trumpet that sounds the day of trumpets. And it's a preparation for, I have a question for you. Everybody look up here just for a second. If you cannot prepare yourself in the day of trumpet, what makes you think you'll be ready in the Day of Atonement? Because it's coming. It comes on the 10th day, whether you like it or not. When is that day? I can't tell you that. He already told us. No man knows the day or the hour. All He ever warns us to do is to be ready. I don't like what you have to say, preacher. I don't either. But the one thing I better learn is to get ready. Can I say it? And don't listen to all the fake news out there. Because you may need that cremation. I don't mean literally. Are you with me? Here we go. And in that day, Isaiah 12:1, and in that day, what day are we talking about? How many know God only has one day? And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Hallelujah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You know what? That's the one thing I like. I think Jesus said this way. Hey, you're going to have some trouble, boys and girls. But don't worry about it. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells. Wonder how that water got there. Of salvation. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Every time I think of Jeremiah, I always think of Uncle Terry. No matter what anyone tells me, I will always think of Uncle Terry. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Jeremiah 31, verse 9. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. Preacher, why are you? You sound like a broken record today. I'm telling you, God will meet us above the mercy seat in the place of humility and brokenness. A humble and a what? Contrite spirit. Remember what the fool does? He just waits so he can give his own opinion. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way. I don't have time to tell you about the straight way, but Jesus said this, straight is the gate and narrowing is the way. If I have time, I'm going to try and get to it. I want to let you know what the straight way is. Are you ready? It's a birth canal. And the head is already out. And all God wants to do is bring the body in a first fruit company so that he can have a harvest in the earth. God is not harvesting the heavens. God is harvesting the earth. Remember James? The husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Here we go. Wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, the ingathering, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for young of the flock and of the herd, and the soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more. Did you hear that? Verse 13. Then. What? Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. He's talking about the church. Both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. I just want to make this clear. That does not mean this doesn't have a day-by-day application, because it does. But the overtone of it all, look, if I need a day to rejoice because I had a bad day yesterday and continue the cycle, and I'm not opposed to us finding these dimensions, I will always still need to find, when something doesn't quite turn out the way that I thought or think it can, right? I will have to find a day to rejoice in. But God is trying to get you and I to understand that He, in that day where He turns everything to captivity of Zion, Do you dream of a day where you would never be sad again, so to speak? I don't want to get into the emotional aspect of this because people will take it the wrong way, but God has a day, doesn't he? Watch, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Isn't that when we get to heaven? Not if I'm bringing heaven down here. Well, wait a minute, I thought heaven was already here. Yeah, it's in part. It came in the form of a seed, a word to be germinated. The unfortunate thing is the church has covered it over with dirt, flesh. Are you with me? Are you all right? I know I'm too mean today. Here we go. Turn with me to Matthew. No, let's not go to Matthew. John chapter 16. This will just emphasize what I said. John chapter 16. Are you ready? John 16. Here we go. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Don't you kind of find it crazy? You know, some of the fake news going, there's literally, they're having a battle, you know, over the shooting of the, you know, the congressman, right? And whether it's the Republicans' fault or the Democrats' fault. This sounds like the church to me, right? It really does. Always the blame game, and you know, everybody knows everything, and some people are happy. Because if we could just get rid of the enemy, never understanding where the enemy really lives. Most people don't understand this, most church folks. I have a friend, and I remember years ago when she told me this, and you know, inherently, all people are good. And it really does not say that in the Bible. It actually says the exact opposite in Jeremiah. It says what? The heart of man is desperately where? All of his ways. That's why we need a Savior. This is why I have problems with a lot of church folks, you know. Oh, God loves me so much. No, he does, but you must understand, he still does not. You know, sin has consequences. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was lost and dead in my trespasses and sin, God came, and all of a sudden my mourning was turned to dancing. But as I begin to walk along this path, I realize, hey, wait, there's a whole lot more that I can get excited about because I have a dream. And we may not like everything that Martin Luther King did, but you know, Rosa Parks was also involved there. I really do believe this. Watch this. She didn't give up her seat. The church likes to trumpet. We've been seated with him in heavenly places, but we don't realize we gave up our seat for an enemy that was subtle, who usurped authority in the church. Well, that's not true, really. I have a question. Do you think we have more funerals or more healings in the church these days? I'm talking real ones, not the fake stuff you see on the internet. Are you with me? The church needs to wake up. All right. Here we go. A woman. Now, who's talking here? Jesus. So it's important, right? A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. I'm telling you, that's prophetic to you and I today. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time for every season under the sun, right? But you need to know when to cry, and you need to know when to laugh. I really do believe this. I think when Nehemiah cried and the king noticed what the problem was, it wasn't that he was of a total sad countenance and didn't know that the Lord wasn't available. He just understood that God had more for his people, and the people sold themselves short. The truth of the matter is he understood that God was his strength to get him through. He had faith in God. Are you with me? A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. Hello, church, the hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the man-child, I'll put in there, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man can take from you. Did you hear that? How many know? Has Jesus met you? Have you met Jesus? Has he appeared to you? And I don't mean the physical man. Has Jesus showed up? Brought joy to your life. But what he really wants to do will put an end where you'll never remember. Come on, Isaiah says, he says, I'll throw it all away and you'll never remember it before. There's a part of me, now this is just strictly my opinion, which doesn't mean anything, but I know a lot of folks may not agree with me, but you know what, I believe there could come a day that we won't even remember this day. Well, I don't know if that's true. Really? You tell me what you did on the second day of the fifth grade in your life. I saw Corey shook. Corey says, I can't remember last week. Because you know why? Every day we walk now is God's preparing us for his purpose. I can't tell you all the dynamics of the fullness. He never revealed that other than we see Jesus. And yet, I've never seen him. I know I mess a lot of people up, but I still think, geez, a lot of people think he has nail prints in his hands. I can't necessarily agree with that. Geez, he walked on the road to Emmaus and the folks didn't even know who he was. And I still think when Thomas saw his hands, he jumped and shouted. He says, geez, it's Jesus, but he has no nail prints at all. It's because he's an overcomer. He has, watch this, no scars from the past. God, there's a lot to say there. How will we know it's him? How did Peter, James, and John know it was Moses and Elijah? The realm of the Spirit. Wasn't knowledge and intellect, which is how we move primarily, including me. All right. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you today. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Now, what was the preacher talking about today? There's a trumpet sounding. The hour has come. We're in the matrix, aren't we? There's an intent, isn't there? Pressure, not from the outside, pressure from the inside. See, if the pressure was from the, I mean, I could make it, you know, put a pressure, it won't change you. God inside of us. speak to the seed, right? Here we go. Now, verse 22. You all right? Verse 21. Nope, verse 20. Nope. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, sounds like a birth canal move, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. For the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation waits for the manifestation or the expression of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. I wonder who did that. I still like to ask this question to folks. Who came first, God or the devil? That'll just start a feud, I know. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subject the same in hope. So in other words, the same God that put the creation subject to vanity also gave it a lifeline, hope. Come on, I'm preaching about hope this morning. Are you with me? Because the creature itself also shall be delivered, hallelujah, you should be jumping, from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. How many know that the center point of the creation, the creature, is man? All right, here we go. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together all the way up to this very moment. Have you heard the creation groaning lately? Watch this. Here's the point. This is my verse. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits or the beginning of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the placing. Not Western adoption. The placing to know the redemption of our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, real quick. I'm almost done, I know. It's Father's Day. I get to preach long today. Is that all right? See, we can do a lot of talking, can't we? And a lot of smack is out there. But I'm here to tell you, he who began a new work will finish it. Watch this. In the day. What day? Jesus Christ. But you know how it comes about, UT? Going through the valley of Baca. Watch. What's a birth canal? It's a valley. Anybody remember it? Beside me. No, that was my joke. I used to tell my kids all the time, I always remember going through the birth canal. Dad, your memory's so good. They don't think so anymore. They think I'm losing it now. Are you with me? He's looking for a priesthood, a royal priesthood. An Ezra company, a Nehemiah company, a company that groans. Here we go. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal where? In the heavens. For in this we groan. Do you have a cry today that will fill every dry and barren place? That there can be streams in the desert, the south, so that God can turn the captivity of the creation. I'm making a sound with a trumpet to get us ready for the Day of Atonement, experientially, so that God can have an ingathering. Come on, it's going to be the rain of tears that fills the lowlands, that causes the latter rain, the maturing of the crops, so God can ingather what He's really after. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be what? Clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Reminds me of that church in Revelation 3. They weren't crying, were they? They were spending more time trying to tell everybody who they were. And they had the wrong standard all along. They had their own. Watch this. They measured themselves against themselves. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. You know what? I don't like wearing glasses. It's a burden. There's a lot of burdens in this dimension that we have taken just as part of life. And we've wanted to hookamashiah it in Pentecost when God's wanted to change it in tabernacles. Are you with me? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. I like this. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. Are you with me? We've come to the conclusion of trumpets. It was only meant for one thing in the seventh month, and it was to get a people ready for the Day of Atonement and the ingathering. And the reason God warns us, this is where the church won't tell you, it's also a day of judgment. Go read the Bible. You'll find it all the way through it. You'll have Old Testament types. You'll have New Testament realities. Even Paul, you know, watch this. You'll even judge angels. We like that. But we miss the fact that it's a judgment day. I'm here to tell you the final judgments will come. I didn't choose to be a trumpet. I did not. Most folks don't listen to me anyway. Sometimes I don't even listen to myself. Pay heed to the warnings. But I'm here to tell you that God's talking to us, which shows us His graciousness for us. Because He desires His word to be manifested in fullness in our lives. How many of you would take your hard-earned money and invest it in something that you know you wouldn't get any return? After a while, you would do what? Withdraw your money. Well, Jesus would never do that. He loves me. Go talk to the man that hid the talent in the dirt. Which was then turned around and gave to someone else. Are you all right? We're in the last trump. A day is like a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, isn't it? We've come 21 centuries. The truth of the matter is, other than the early church, other than refreshings through the course of time, the church has become stagnant and stale in the earth. But the coolest thing about God is this. He's still working behind the scenes, the invisible realm. And he's talking to those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen? And if I didn't say anything to you today, I'm here to tell you, listen, God's looking for a people who will groan. Watch this. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we do what? Cry, Abba, Father. What better Father's Day gift than to give ourselves to Him? Let's stand. I wore you out. Are you with me today? You know, Corey sent me a text the other day, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but one of the things that Corey said was, he said, we have division in the house. I'm like, what do you mean? Right? Now, I'm not picking on him, but hey, if he wants to be a prophet, he's going to have to be able to handle the rough and tough stuff. But I really believe he didn't just say it flippantly. Because what God wants is a unity of His Spirit. That's where true unity comes from. And the first thing unity comes is when we recognize the voice. We can't sit and say, is this God or isn't it God? Because we're being the place, like all the people, in the valley of decision. And I'm here to tell you, listen seriously, we need to cry out to God. We can no longer skip understanding so we can voice our opinion. Amen? Because God's after something. God's out looking for God. Right where He put Him. In us. Amen? Because one of the things Corey wrote was he needs a bride that will do things his way and not theirs. A church. Yay, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but God's been gracious to us. He's the ruler of the world. He rules everything. The devil is not in charge. But he has power. And the truth of the matter is, Peter wrote it this way. He said, he's our adversary, isn't he? And he's always shooting darts of light to confuse people. But this morning, I believe with my whole heart. Hi, bud. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And it comes from a people groaning, crying out to God, I want what you want. Not my will, but thy will be done. It will never undo what he's doing in life every single day. He's always working behind the scenes. Eli and his sons were still in charge, weren't they? But Samuel was on his way. And even when Samuel showed up, Eli's establishment continued, didn't it? But I'm telling you, God wants to bring an end to all of man's ways. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Father, we love you and praise you. God, we thank you that this is the last trump, the seventh trumpet. It is the message of perfection or completion, God, because this is what you want to do. It's the voice of the corporate overcomer. It's no longer the day of the individual, God, but it's a unified voice of one, no longer divided, no longer a house of horror, but a house of holiness. Hey, hallelujah, Jesus. So God, I pray this day that every heart, every mind, Father, we would turn to you. That there can be a release of the sound of resurrection life. The mortal swallowed up with immortality. The corruptible swallowed up by incorruption. That the very realm of the most holy place gets unveiled in our life. Lord, you are our Lord. And it is your kingdom. So you get it. You get to have it any way you want. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord Jesus. We need help, God, in this day. I need help, Father. Because the status quo, God. Whew. A true release. A full restoration. And a complete reunion with you and your people. A true year of Jubilee. Which, by the way, when does Jubilee take place? The year of Jubilee? Once every 50 years, on what day? The Day of Atonement. Amen? Experientially, it was fulfilled in the Old Testament, animals. Experientially, Jesus, the head, fulfilled it. But experientially, the church must complete the birth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God.